All right, so we're holding on to God's unchanging hand. We want to thank Brother Steve for leading us in song there and one in song there. And that's what we want to do. We need to continue to hold on God's unchanging hand. God's unchanged. God does not change. All right, man might change, but God doesn't change. And we need to keep on holding on. That's what it's all about. Perseverance, endurance, keep on going, keep on running this race until the very end. All right. So here we are in our lesson today. Let us open our Bibles to the book of Luke. We're in the book of Luke, chapter 16. We want to look at verses 13. Luke chapter 16, starting off here in verse number 13. All right. So here in Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 14, Jesus told a parable about a man who was an unjust steward. All right, so what the parable is called, the unjust or shrewd steward. And Jesus concluded his lesson there, and he concluded by saying what he says here in verse number 13. So in Luke 16 and 13, this is what Jesus says. He says, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." So Jesus says you cannot serve God and money. That's what Jesus is talking about. Look at verse 14. It says here in verse 14, "When the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, they derided him." So we see here the Pharisees, which is Jewish religious sect. Here, Jewish leaders here. And look what they, what the scriptures tell us, that they are lovers of money. And they heard what Jesus taught. It said that they derided him. That means that they sneered at Jesus. They turned up their nose at what Jesus had taught. They mocked what Jesus says. So really what they're doing, they are rejecting the truth of what Jesus has taught. All right. And it shows for us that we should never harden our hearts to the word of God. But because of pride, we see, and the love of money, these men derided what Jesus has taught. So what did Jesus do? Jesus told an account of a man who also loved money and told what happened to this man after he died. All right, this is the account that takes us into, which is known as Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus and the rich man. Some say that Lazarus and the rich man is a parable. Some say that it is not a parable. Why do they say that it's not a parable? Because Jesus never mentioned anyone by name in a parable. But in this account here, Jesus mentioned Abraham. All right, he spoke of Father Abraham in this account here. Also, what Jesus teaches here in the passage here of Lazarus and the rich man is in line with what Jesus taught throughout the scriptures about where one goes and what takes place after they die. All right, so we're looking here in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 30. It's where I'll be taking a look here in this passage of Lazarus and the rich man. Title of this lesson is, "Don't wait till it's too late." Don't wait until it's too late. All right, let us look here at Luke 16, verses 19 through 21. Luke 16, verses 19 through 21. It says, "There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores." So we see there in verse number 19, Jesus here tells us about a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. What is this telling us about this rich man? He wore the best of clothes, all right? And he ate the best of foods each and every day. This rich man's life was marked by luxury, pleasures, and the comforts of life, which is total opposite of what we see in the life of Lazarus. So what Jesus here, he's showing us a contrast or a difference between a rich man and a poor man here and what takes place after they die. So then we read about Lazarus here also. It says Lazarus was a beggar and a body full of sores were his clothes. All right. Lazarus also was laid at the rich man's gate. That means that someone had to carry Lazarus there and lay him there each and every day, if that's the case there. All right. And then we see Lazarus, his desire was for the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. See, Lazarus' desire was not for steak and lobster. I'm sure he would want that if you gave it to him, but his desire shows that this is simply what he wanted, just the little crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And then it tells us here, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, which may be showing us that the dogs showed more care for Lazarus than the rich man did. Like the dogs came and licked his sores. So what do we have here? It's a description here of the extent of Lazarus's poverty and his suffering. And also it shows us here a lack of compassion and generosity from the rich man who had more than enough to share with Lazarus. All right. So also when it talks about Lazarus being laid at the rich man's gate, to me, he was positioned there. He was positioned in a place where he could possibly get some help, some food, some money. So he, to me, he was positioned there at the gate. Why do I say that? Because my mind goes back to Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, if you remember, there was also a lame man that was born lame from birth. And he was also taken and laid at the gate of the temple so that when people came into the temple, he could be there to ask alms or money from the people. So this is, to me, being laid there is in a sense a position there that this Lazarus was laid there at the rich man's table. All right. So in the law of Moses, all right, it's what we're talking about here, law of Moses in Deuteronomy in chapter 15, verses 7 through 8, it says, if there is among you a poor man of your brethren within any of its gates in your land, which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your poor brother, but you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. So we see here that this rich man, he had an obligation and a responsibility to help his brother who was in need. All right. And in doing so, if you continue to read there in Deuteronomy, God was going to bless him. So God is saying, if there's any poor of your brother that's in the land, even he goes in further talking about even strangers. If there's any poor in your land and they're laying at your gate, you are to open your hand wide. Open your hand so you can give to your brother who has a need. You see how God always took care of his people? God always had a plan set in place to take care of his people, just like God has a plan for us to be taken care of today as well. So God always took care of his people. So this rich man, he had a responsibility to use his riches in a way that was pleasing to God. But we see here that he neglected to do so. The rich man neglected to obey the word of God. He neglected to follow the will of God that was brought forth in the Old Testament. See, this rich man, he loved money more than he loved his neighbor. This was his problem. He loved money more than he loved his neighbor. The rich man saw Lazarus probably every day and didn't help him. And there was a passage, let me see here, stanzas in the verse here that Steve read, sung to us. And I was like, that's right on point there, Steve. So it was just a song that we just sung. First, hold on to God's unchanging hand. And stanza number 3, listen to what it says. Covet not this world's vain riches that so rapidly decay. Seek to gain the heavenly treasures that will never pass away. You see what the problem with this rich man, his problem was? His problem was the sin of covetousness. All right. He loved money. He loved money more than he loved his fellow brethren here. And this was this rich man's problem there. Thank you once again, Steve. He's a good sport. I'm messing with him. All right. So let's continue on. Back in Luke chapter 16, verse 22 and 23, as we learn here more about Lazarus and the rich man. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So now we saw the life of Lazarus and the rich man. Now we see the death of them. They both died. And we see what took place here with Lazarus. It says that Lazarus, when he died, the angels came. They escorted him to Abraham's bosom here. Being in Abraham's bosom implies a place of honor and comfort for the faithful, often interpreted as a metaphor for paradise. So we see this, when Lazarus died, he was carried to Abraham's bosom. Yeah, not Lazarus, the rich. Lazarus. Okay, and then it tells us also, when Lazarus died, we see that he was in right standings with God. All right, he died in right standings with God. He was faithful to God. Then we see the rich man, he also died, and he was buried. You see, there's no mention of him being carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. There's no angels, and there's no Abraham's bosom at all for the rich man. What happened to the rich man? The rich man was being tormented in Hades. Now, Hades is understood as the realm of the dead, a temporary place where souls await final judgment. So everybody who's ever lived on this earth, all right, when they die, everyone will go to the Hadean world. There's two sides of the Hadean world. You have a side that is of torment, and then you'll have a side also of comfort. All right, and everybody's going to one of those sides, and we will remain there until judgment. And after judgment, you'll be judged, and either you're going to hell or you are going to heaven. All right, it's a lot of false teaching we know that goes on about what goes on after someone dies. But we see here Jesus giving us this account to help us to understand when we die, this is what takes place. We go into the Hadean world, we're either the side of comfort or we're in the side of torment, and we wait there until the day of judgment. So the rich man, he died, and he lifted up his eyes, and he saw Abraham afar off, and he saw Lazarus in his bosom. Seeing Abraham afar off suggests that there is a separation between the righteous and the unrighteous in the afterlife. And that's what Jesus taught over and over and over again in his scriptures. We even see that in the final judgment scene, you might say, of Matthew chapter 25, where the righteous and the unrighteous were separated there at that point in time. But it was throughout the scriptures there. And then we see here that the rich man, he was in torment. You see that? He was in torment. The rich man experiences was still suffering there. And we see that he had consciousness. He could tell he was in torment. All right. He wasn't just dead and that was it. He was in torment and he knew it. And we see Lazarus here, which was once a poor and a suffering beggar, is now being comforted in the very presence of Abraham. He's being comforted. And it was always said that death is the great equalizer. Didn't matter if you was rich or poor at that time. It didn't matter whatever else was going on in your life at this time. We were all on equal planes. What mattered is that your relationship with God. Did you have the right relationship with God? All right. Verses 24 and 20 through 26. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, speaking of the rich man, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all of this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us, between us and you. So the rich man, he cries out to Abraham for mercy. Abraham, have mercy on me. He asks Abraham to send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water to cool his tongue, for he was being tormented, it said, in the flame. So all the rich man wanted was a drip of water, some mercy, some compassion. All he wanted was some relief for his suffering that he was going through, for he was in that flame of torment. So remember, in the life of the rich man, he ignored Lazarus. But now he seeks Lazarus' help. Send Lazarus to dip some of the water for my tongue here. And Abraham tells him in verse 25, he says, son, remember. Remember. All right, so now we see that the roles have been reversed. The roles have been reversed here. The rich man who lived a life of luxury is reminded of the opportunities had to use his resources for good. You see that? So it's telling us how we live our lives here and now is going to affect where we're going to be at in eternity. Mm-hmm. All right, this rich man had opportunity to do good with what God had blessed him with, you may say, and he neglected to do so. And we see that this man is in torment. But we see Lazarus, he is now comforted, which is the promise of God that those who remain faithful to God, God promising that there will be comfort for you. All right. And we see that in Revelations 21 and 4, where God speaks of a time where he will wipe away all our tears. There will be no more death, no more pain, no more suffering. See that? So that tells us that no matter what we're going through and suffering as Christians on this side of life, God promises us that there will be comforting forever. All right, with God, we will be comforted. So that tells me that whatever we're going through in this life, keep the faith in God. Keep your faith in God. God promises us great comfort if we remain faithful to him. So we see that the rich man, he is being tormented, which is a divine judgment and eternal consequences for one's earthly choices. And we see that the great gulf fixed, that no one could come from one side to the other. All right, no one can alter one's eternal destiny after they die. When a person dies, that situation is fixed. You're not going from one side to the other. You're not coming back from the dead, no matter what people say or what they pray. When you die, that is, our situation is fixed. Mm-hmm. We need to do what we need to do now to be right standings with God here. All right. And we also see that the rich man, we see his condition. All right. We see that he was conscious, and we see that he could feel. All right. He knew he was being in torment, and he could feel. He could hear Abraham. All right. We see he could hear what Abraham had to say. Also, we can see that he saw Lazarus. All right. Also, he could taste. If that was the case, he would have a drip of water on his tongue. So we see that once you die, that's not just it. He had all his senses still there. He was still able to feel, hear, to see all that was going on in his life there. All right, so we see the rich man in his condition now. So what's going on with the rich man? He has now waited till it was too late. All right, he wants to change, but his situation is fixed. He no longer can change anything that is going on in his life there. So now verses 27 through 29. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to them, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. All right. So now the rich man, he know that his situation is fixed. He know that he cannot come out of the Hadean world, and he knows that it is too late for him. So now he begs Abraham to send Lazarus to warn his brothers not to come to this place of torment. He is now concerned about his brothers. He's now concerned about others there. And Abraham says to them, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. All right. So what is he telling them? They have Moses and the prophets. He's letting them know that the scriptures is enough, that all we need is the word of God for salvation. All we need is God's word. We obey what God's word says, we can be saved. That's all we need. We don't need anyone to go to speak to our brothers that's coming from the dead. All right. So if a person wants to be saved, they must obey the word of God. That's what he's telling us, that the scriptures is enough. Romans 10:17 says, faith come by hearing, and hearing what? The word of God. This is what you need to hear in order to be saved. Then we see there in verse 30 there and 31. And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent." But he said to them, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rises from the dead." So the rich man believes that some miraculous event or that someone rising from the dead will be more convincing than the scriptures. And Abraham is letting them know, no, all they need to do is hear the scriptures. Many people believe and want to see a miracle. By seeing a miracle, then I believe. If the sky opened up, then I would believe. And we know that that is not true, because we know that Jesus rose from the dead. Can't have any greater miracle than that. And there were still many people that do not believe. So Abraham is sharing that all you need is the word of God. God's word is the power of salvation. And that's all we need to do, is to obey what the word of God says. So it was too late for the rich man, but now he was concerned about his brothers. He was concerned about his family. As always, when we read God's word, it always reminds me, it said, what am I concerned about? Am I concerned about my family? Am I sharing the word with my family? Am I doing the best that I can to share the word of God with my family and others? It should always be to help us to be reminded us of our mission, which is to seek and to save the lost. Are we concerned about those who are lost in this world? We don't want it to come to be to the point where it is too late for them. All right, I had people basically on their deathbed, and I tried to get to them, I couldn't get to them, and they passed away. This was a person in another state who was trying to help to get to him, even called a preacher that was in that state to try to get to him to share the word of God. And there was some confusion that was going on, and the preacher didn't get there enough to be able to talk to him. Even though I talked to the person over the phone, and they said they would obey the gospel, but when the preacher was trying to get to him, it didn't work out that way. So I said, wow, isn't that something? That tells me that you can't just wait till it's too late. Don't try to live your life however you want and get to the end of your life and now want to give your life to the Lord. The time is now. We have the opportunity, the time is now. But that blew me away. I said, wow, we cannot just wait till we just at the end of our lives and now, Lord, I'm going to serve you. Well, you only got a couple more days to go. You know, not saying that that couldn't happen, but I'm just saying, why not serve the Lord when we have the ability to be able to do so? So always concerned to me about family members, friends and family, to be able to be to tell them about the gospel so that they won't go to the place of torment. And also reminded me of to be faithful to God myself so that I won't go. We understand that this is real. All right, and we need to take these things serious. So what about us? Is there anyone here today that has not obeyed the gospel? All right, I know we all have. We all children of God. We all have obeyed the gospel. But I always want to plead that don't wait. Don't think that you got till tomorrow to serve the Lord, to give your life to Christ. Don't wait till it's too late. Why did Jesus tell this parable? He's trying to help those who are lovers of money. All right, putting money before they would put their relationship with God and others. So Jesus didn't give us this account to scare us, but to prepare us. This is what he's doing, helping to prepare us for eternity, that we might spend eternity with him. So in conclusion here, the rich man, he failed to show compassion and mercy to his fellow brethren. He failed to do the will of God. That was his sin here. He failed to do the will of God. Sin was covetous. He loved money here, and that was what his problem was, covetous. He chose the love of money over the love of God. All right.